Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor, live from Chicago. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Hey, everybody. Stay safe. Stay home. Pay attention. We'll get through this. We're all in this together. We got a great doubleheader today. Lindsay Berra, she's a storyteller. She's a former ESPN magazine writer. She's talked about a lot of sports medicine in her background. And she also happens to be the Hall of Fame famous Yogi Berra's granddaughter. She'll be joining me. And then returning, Christine Blanchett, the TV host, the producer, the serious runner. She produces and hosts Run With It, Fitness and Lifestyle, and the Sports Doctor's in. Some emails, upcoming shows. Lindsay Berra interviewed a frequent guest on the Sports Doctor, Gary Reinel, the author of the book Iced, who turned the world upside down in his revelation that icing doesn't help anything, really. And Lindsay did a story about him. I saw it, and we made the connection. Lindsay, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Give us some background on yourself, your storytelling, your sports medicine background. Give us some background.
Oh, God. You said we only have 20 minutes, right?
I know.
Well, it's funny. I am Yogi Berra's granddaughter. If you could see me right now, I would lift up my hair and show you I have the ears to prove it. So, I grew up, an athlete. I played soccer, ice hockey, softball. My grandfather got me into ice hockey actually at a very young age. I was the captain of the boys varsity team in high school. I really had no choice but to be an athlete. And when I went to college, my mom was, you're such a good athlete. Why don't you stay in sports and be a journalist? So I will give full credit to my mom. I went to the University of North Carolina. I played softball there, went to journalism school there. Ended up at ESPN Magazine for 13 years. I was a senior writer there. I covered hockey, tennis, baseball, boxing, three Olympic Games, Torino, Beijing, and Vancouver. I left there in 2012, and I was at MLB.com and MLB Network for 5 years, where I did a lot of stories on sports injuries, athletes, off-season workouts, and then some general assignment features. My job was basically to write stories for the website and then go on the network and talk about them. And then for the last 2 years, I've been pretty much just freelance doing a lot of stuff for Men's Health and Baseball America, Sports Business Journal, some health and fitness and wellness websites, et cetera, et cetera. So that's where I am.
Yes, that really, you're right back in the middle of the Sports Doctor. Over the decades, as we talked about every single thing you mentioned, we want to throw in big time sports parents. Of course, you experienced it growing up as a great athlete, and what was expected of you, young lady, and you were a Tar Heel on top of it. And many times, this is one of the big thrusts in these areas, Lindsay, on the Sports Doctor, which is really the only two things anybody cares about. One, can you prevent injuries and somehow stay out of trouble? And two, in some instances, do you want to enhance performance, be a step or two quicker? Of course, as a sports podiatrist, that's where I am always singing the song, the foot bone's connected to the leg bone. And we pay big attention. I don't care what your sport is or what your level is. Strengthen those feet and ankles. Work balance. And I've been putting orthotics in skates, Lindsay, for 4 decades. My poster boy, 2010 Men's Olympic gold medal figure skating champion, grew up in Naperville, Illinois, Evan Lysacek. I'm still putting orthotics in 10-year-old skates. So the edging, right, where you as a hockey player in that regard. So ESPN Magazine, a great magazine. They had so many great stories. That had to be an exciting experience.
It was great. What a great place that was to work, especially in the 2000s when we had a lot of advertising money going into print, and I could pitch anything there. Like I said, I covered mostly hockey, tennis, baseball, but I could go into my editor-in-chief's office and say, hey, I want to do this golf story on, say, I remember I did this one on Lorena Ochoa. She was a Mexican woman who was challenging Annika Sorenstam for number one at the time. And I said, I want to go to Mexico City and spend a week with her and her parents. And then I'm going to fly with them to Oahu and go to the Turtle Bay tournament. And they'd say, okay, good luck. Come back with a great story.
Yeah. And then
that doesn't happen
cover
anymore.
The roller derby. Yes.
Yeah, right?
Roller derby
was super fun. That story I did in Seattle. That was great. You could probably put orthotics into roller skates as well.
Big time. Forever. Again, let alone the incredible brutality of that sport, man. Roller derby in so many different areas. Everybody, you're listening to The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, you zip over to radio shows. You can go back a decade. Before that, I think it was Reel to Reel we have. And you could see what the topics were, who the guests were, all over the world. There's so many topics, whether it's concussions, whether it's the role of the foot in sports, whether it's women in high heels, whether it's nutrition. Listen to whatever you'd like. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you can read all the different stuff we've written and been taken part of. One of my exciting sponsors, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, the new venture called MVP Parent Magazine. We're so excited about that. A lot of these different topics. We have over 30,000 followers on Twitter. I can't tell you how many guests I get on Twitter or LinkedIn. Lots of authors, trainers, coaches, etc. In so many areas, and you can follow me at Sports Doc Radio. I'm excited. I'm talking to, it's true, it's the top of your title. It's Yogi Berra's granddaughter, Lindsay Berra, who's done everything in the world of covering all aspects of big time sports. And I talk a lot, Lindsay, about the epidemic with a capital E of youth sports overuse injuries. Why I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, both physically and mentally. The tremendous pressure that we see in youth sports today and their parents, it's such a big business. You've been in the middle of that. You lived it. How are we doing?
I mean, it's changed so much since I was a kid. My grandfather, when my dad and my uncles grew up, and then also subsequently when me and all my cousins were growing up, he really wanted us to play as many sports as possible. There was no year-round baseball, no year-round hockey. I mean, I might skate a little bit on the weekends with my friends, but I had three seasons. I had soccer, I had ice hockey, I had softball, I played basketball on the playgrounds, I rode my bike, I ran, I did all this stuff.
And you know, we still recommend that.
Doing that, of course, and
we
that's
still
the
recommend
way,
that's
the best way to
however,
keep kids from getting injuries to train them
however,
in different.
Yes, however, Lindsay, if I have a chapter in my book, I call it the prodigy sports. Let's say you're a gymnast, or a figure skater, or a ballet dancer. Now, including soccer and tennis, big time. Then the pressure is there, and we have to deal with these kids who grow up. Yes, we'd love them to play lots of sports and have a letter sweater like you did with three or four different letters on it. And Lindsay, what's the best website people could see all your stuff?
My website is just www.lindsayberra.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at Lindsay Berra. I post all my stories there as well. I think, to your point really quickly with the sports that are so specialized, I think that a lot of these organizations that run these programs for kids that are year-round things, they are starting to realize that this isn't the greatest thing in the world. So, for example, I have a friend whose son is a very good high school wrestler, and he's on a bunch of different clubs, and they now incorporate in the wrestling program, they do yoga 2 days a week. Like, so they are giving them some other things.
Yeah, absolutely.
People are starting
learning
to get a little bit wise.
Yes, they're absolutely learning, Lindsay. Longtime superstar sports therapist associate of mine, Bob Guida. That's why I put orthotics in John McEnroe's shoes and Jim McMahon's. They came to see Bob Guida, and he would talk so much about strengthening the opposites. If it was a tennis player swinging a racket, for example, a million times a week, he was working the breaks, he'd call them, the opposites. So when we have prodigy athletes, We recommend they really get under the tutelage of a good physical therapist who can get them to include, again, your concept like yoga, other things to work as best you can. We're all familiar with the overzealous coaches, right? And the overzealous parents. And again, these schedules with all the best intentions. And I do believe we've come a long way, baby, but we're up to our ears in so many. You see Tommy John surgery in 15-year-olds. This is what it is. Mm-hmm. And so we continue to pound away at the things that help, a la Gary Reinel in his book Iced, where he was talking about the fact we continue to learn things. You know what was amazing about Gary, Lindsay, is this Bob Guida, who I just mentioned to you, in his career, he was against stretching in many different ways. And they wanted to assassinate him as much as they wanted to assassinate Gary when it came to, what do you mean, no icing?
Yeah. Well, and now look at how much we know about how static stretching prior to workout doesn't help you very much. So there's better ways to warm up. Exactly.
Yes. And these are the things that we can continue to learn. But the pressure, again, is on, whether it's scholarship, you know, whether it is, even though it's one out of the thousands that play professional sports. What was some of your, the way, like you say, you know, a storyteller? I find that fascinating how you would find that to be able to, of course, weave into all of these different areas. What are some of your favorites?
Oh, goodness. I really loved covering tennis when I was at ESPN because it's such an international sport. You get to travel all over the place. If you say you don't want to cover tennis, you're not really acknowledging what that sport is. It's always played in beautiful places with wonderful weather. It's always multicultural. Everybody speaks four or five languages. I was always super intrigued
and
by that. So.
It is one of the sports. We have a contest every year. We talk about what sport requires the best athlete. Give it 100
answers. Tremendous. I can't tell you how many five-set matches I watched between Rafael Nadal and Novak Djokovic and was just marveling, like, how the heck these guys are still standing. But I did get to go to Basel, Switzerland, and follow Roger Federer for 5 days once, like, in his hometown. I went to Serbia 3 different times to do stories on Novak Djokovic, Ana Ivanovic. I went to Belgium once to do a story on Kim Clijsters and Justine Enna. So a lot of those international tennis
you
stories
want to laugh,
are very
Lindsay,
interesting.
When we saw John McEnroe as a 20-year-old punk, and because Guida worked very closely with Nick Bollettieri and all the Pete Sampras's and the Jimmy Connors, we spent a lot of time with Tracy Austin, all these great players. None of them worked out, Lindsay, for the most part. They played a lot of tennis, and then they went on the court, and they were as great as they were. Talk about a metamorphosis, again, like all other sports, including every woman's sport. When I take a look at some of these young, girl hockey players, it's just incredible, the physicality, how far the young girl athlete has come, times 50, it seems.
I think all the sports have started to realize that you have to do something off the court, off the field. And then with women, with young girls, especially with ACL tears of, you know, epidemic proportions in youth female sports in this country, I think people are starting to realize that they have to train off the field to make them strong enough to withstand the rigors of their sports so they're not hurt.
I have another pearl for you, Lindsay. When you include proper custom orthotics with young girls, I can count on one hand in my 40 years of seeing some of the top girls that did not, if it wasn't trauma, have an ACL.
Yeah.
It's still a secret.
I would imagine if you build that foundation from the bottom up, unless someone runs across their
alignment,
leg, yes, I could imagine that would be better.
You have wider hips in females, and there's more of an angle down to the knee. There's
the
more torque.
Yep.
It got it. Yes. So that's the sports doctor's pearl for you, or one of them, in all of these different areas, because it's such a major key area. It is still, with all the attention, unless that girl's feet hurt, the attention to orthotics, and of course I'm prejudiced as a sports podiatrist, unless her feet hurt, no one's looking at her. For the most part, although they're coming a long way now, and I really have to admit it because I've been screaming about it for a long, long time. You must be so blown away by sports. We all are. Halted with a capital H. It's mind-bending.
It certainly is, and I right when this first started happening, I started Googling around just to see if there was any precedent for it, and the closest thing we have is that influenza epidemic in 1918, and even then, things weren't
who knows what people were thinking. I mean, there was a lot of, but this is...
I was Googling the other day, that was when baseball first banned the spitball during the influenza epidemic for obvious reasons. Spit carries germs, but they also wanted to inject more offense, and the spitball was too hard to hit, but the influenza epidemic gave them a good reason to ban the spitball. I thought that was hysterical.
That's an incredible coincidence. It's funny, one of my frequent guests, the famous sports writer was the Sports Illustrated, Rick Tellender, who was the Chicago Sun-Times for years, the author, I'm sure you know of his work, and vice versa, who his headline was, let's play ball, even if there's no fans, somehow to rescue our psyche. Although some of the greatest of the, ESPN, some of their different histories that they're showing, but there's really, really no experience for any of this. You know, this high-tech world where people watch games on their phones and all of a sudden it stopped, and some of my sports psychology associates, Lindsay, are paying big attention to the challenges of these athletes who everything has stopped. The graduation, the season, the this, the that, and this is a very, very big deal, and we paid attention to it on the Sports Doctor.
I could imagine, too. I mean, pro athletes are so regimented, but high school athletes are as well. And anytime you get away from your routine, it's crazy.
Lindsay, live radio. I can't believe we've run out of time. Give me the website again. People could find out about you quickly.
My Twitter handle is at Lindsay Berra, LINDSAY. And then my website is www.lindsayberra.com.
Great. And you get the show on Saturday, all the replay. Hold on, Lindsay. Everybody will be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. An essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, Hey Sports Parents. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them.
Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody. We are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil. And I think we're going to zip out to Canada. We're going to welcome back Christine Blanchett, TV host. She's the host and producer of Run With It, a fitness and lifestyle show. She's a competitive runner, and she's got a great story. So, Christine, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Yes, I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Are you up in Canada?
Yes, in Vancouver.
Vancouver, yes. Vancouver, the Olympics, where my patient, Evan Lysacek, won the Olympic gold medal figure skating title. I remember it well. Christine, give us some background on you and Run With It.
Yes, well, I have a background in running, I would say competitive. I ran the Boston Marathon, and I've been running ever since 1999. And I love running. Now I'm not competing as much. I'm more into, I still run, but I have my show. So I turned my passion into creating a show called Run With It. It's been created since 2013, and it's now it has stronger legs. So it's sort of running, fitness, and lifestyle. And I have...
Yes, you and I have traded shows. You and I have traded shows. And I'm going to be looking forward to be joining you again at the end of the month. I mean, you're a gal who, 6 months after you started running, you already were competing in a marathon. And not only did you compete in the marathon, you qualified for Boston. Now, qualifying for Boston is a big deal, and anybody who is time-wise. So you had to be very talented right off the bat, and then you became involved in competitions.
Yes, and I didn't realize. I mean, I never really liked sports. I mean, I was never very good in team sports. I was always picked last, like in basketball, and it was through a friend that, and I love basketball. I love all sports, but I was really horrible at it. As I said, picked last, and baseball, everything. But I just found running through a friend and thought, I should try it, but I was doing a lot of laboring, like huffing and puffing, but I running found me. And
What were you competitive at? Did you run marathons? Did you run 10Ks? What type of competitions were you involved in when you were competitive?
Well, I like to rewind. In high school and elementary, I ran for points because my brother was the real competitive runner, 800 meters, 400 meters. And then my brother John said, why don't you just run? We need points. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So that was my early running days, track days. And then I thought, I don't like it. But then, as I said, a friend introduced me to running. So I started running like 5Ks, 10Ks. And then I had a coach who I interviewed on TV and said, let's go for a run. And he saw a bit of talent in me, and then I started running. And I ran my first marathon in 1999, Vancouver International Marathon. From there, and I didn't know it, but I qualified for Boston when I crossed the finish line. And Carrie Nelson, former Olympian, Canadian Olympian, said, did you know you qualified for Boston? And I go, oh, I didn't even know at that time. And it was a surprise.
What was the qualifying time for Boston then?
Oh, I think it was for my age group. Now don't quote me. I was like maybe 3:20 or something.
Impressive.
No, it was later than that.
Impressive.
No, actually, Yeah, I think maybe, now, it was about that, 3:30, whatever.
Yes, now, like it was... Of course, Christine is a sports podiatrist, and is running being one of the sports I've dealt with forever, give or take, at all different ages. And I know that your show, you absolutely are an educator, and you bring in all sorts of different topics, all sorts of important things. Of course, I'm prejudiced, but it's hard to be more important than the role of the foot when we're talking about running and its effect on all the areas of the body. When we realized over the years, and it was the famous Dr. George Sheehan, the running cardiologist. Matter of fact, George was posthumously inducted into the National Fitness Hall of Fame last year with me. And George Sheehan was one of the first serious MDs to make a big deal out of so many knee problems of foot related, you know, 2 decades ago. And at that time, again, there were so many back problems of foot related. And what shoe are you in? And what's your foot mechanics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When we would start to understand that at least half of the running population has trouble in some way, shape, or form. And we started paying big attention to what we would characterize as overuse injuries, many times because of too much or too soon. What a great example of someone who did a marathon too soon after you just started running, you know, 6 months later, but you did it. Tell us about Run With It.
Well, Run With It, it was created in 2013, and it was sort of what happened was I got laid off from my job in print, and I thought, you know what, I could create a show. And I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? But I wanted to do it, so I just sent a proposal off to Doug Lucas, who I did do a bit of work in for Rogers Communications, and he said, send me a proposal, and then he accepted the proposal, and then we presented it to the TV station, but it took 2 years to get off the ground. And it's a half-hour monthly show, and it's all about running, of course, and has a running theme every month, and fitness lifestyle. And I interview people, celebrities on the red carpet, who how do they maintain a stamina from being on the set for 12 hours a day, for example, and then how do they, you know, eat healthy living or healthy living and eating habits, all that. So it's given me that opportunity to interview many people like actors and filmmakers and producers.
Oh, yeah, running, of course, running, pardon my French, quote unquote, runs the gamut. Again, you know, just recently, the member of the task force with the virus, Dr. Fauci, is an avid runner. He probably needs to deal with his sanity. So the mental side, what we used to call the runner's high, and the fact that there are so many different people who include running for various aspects of their fitness program, it's hard to beat it. But it does have its physical challenges as far as problems, foot, ankle, knees, feet, is such a big deal. And when we want to include the fact that we want to keep as many people on the road, however long your road is, however competitive your road is, we want to be able to keep them safely. And then when we're talking high performance with the best of the best, then we start paying big attention, as you know, on the Sports Doctor. Well, let's really strengthen those feet and ankles. Let's pay very big attention to alignment, structure, and all of these things that we talk so much about. And I would imagine that nutrition, and you mix in, again, all of these, every celebrity you see today tries to be fit. I mean, it's a big deal, isn't it?
Yes, but, you know, healthy too, right? And I think it's, you know, we want to live longer, and it's just following a healthy lifestyle. And then you're talking about...
We
want to
live longer and healthier, right?
Mm-hmm,
what's the website?
Exactly.
Christine, what's the website for your show, you and your show?
Oh, it's runwithit.ca.
Runwithit.ca, and it's a monthly show, and that's your TV show, right?
Yes.
Yes, and you also have, because I know that I'm on your radio show, you have also the podcast along with it?
Yes, Run With It podcast, which is okay. Really exciting. You know, I wanted to tell you that within the show, I create a doctor's corner. So I interview medical professionals like yourself.
Excellent.
And they talk about injury prevention to gut health. How is your gut health? Oral health. And it's the experts who tell me. I'm not the expert. It's them giving me the information. It's an educational, informative program.
Yes, I think it's a great idea to mm-hmm. include that expertise as part of your team. Did you give me the one-minute sign, Doug? I don't know if he did or he didn't. on live radio. Oh, we got two more minutes. Okay. No, I'm going to make a bigger deal out of it, Christine. Again, having a team of experts, again, sports psychology, podiatry, orthopedic surgery, massage therapy, mental training, all of these things, I think is a great idea with your medical corner, because especially again today, nutrition is such a big deal. We're still arguing about nutrition in so many different ways. Supplements is such a big deal. Things like CBD before the virus took over our life, we were so excited about some of these things. In the holistic, the sports doctor, we pay big attention to the inclusion of the whole holistic side of medicine, acupuncture, again, soft tissue therapy. Things that are tremendous. They used to call it alternative, but that was what do you mean alternative? Now we call it complementary. How the different areas of medicine make such a difference. We're talking to the producer, the host of Run With It, Christine Blanchett up there in Canada, and we're going to be back for another segment. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has two Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness, right-fit.com. Hey, everybody. We are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can go to radio shows, you can go back years, lots of topics, international guests, local guests, sports medicine, fitness and wellness. If you go to newspaper articles and magazines, you could read an array, everything from concussions to women in high heels to all of our different articles for Lower Extremity Review, the new exciting MVP Parent magazine. We're talking with Christine Blanchett, her Run With It, a TV show, her radio show. See, she is the producer and host, and she was telling us about her medical corner, doctor's corner. Tell us some of the examples of what you had just started on who participates, Christine.
Well, I have on the show Dr. Jack Taunton. He talks about gender studies, the shoe study, injury prevention. I have naturopathic doctors on the show.
Excellent.
We talked about soft tissue, gut health, holistic nutritionists, registered dietitians, and acupuncture. The whole medical information out there. So it's like I talk to medical doctors, naturopathic physicians, and registered.
Excellent. You know, what's interesting, Christy, too, is we've seen over the decades, You know, running, like all other sports, but specifically running, none of these runners worked out. None of them did strength training. And I was in the middle with so many different experts of selling to these runners that posturally they had to be much, much stronger instead of running more miles. And that's been one of the revelations over the years. Gosh, I wrote about rubber bands in Runner's World 100 years ago when we were talking about strengthening. And that's one of the major keys and advances that at all levels running is really, really made, where you see these runners have become much more serious about their off-running strengthening and training to try to stay out of injuries as expectations have grown. Heck, we just saw the two-minute marathon, right? Superhuman.
Yeah. Yes. It's unbelievable.
It really is. You know, but people want to also, they might want to run 3 miles two or three times a week as part of their fitness program. And they just really, really want to be able to stay out of trouble. And that's why, again, the medical side of things are so important. And, again, that whole holistic side of things, you know, and which we've talked about for so many years, you know, Western medicine for the most part was give me a pill. And that's one of my pet peeves on the sports doctor, Christine. The United States is only one of two countries in the world that allows TV advertising of prescription drugs. Ad nauseum doesn't stop. Mm. And it just pushed constantly with the drugs. And the fact that there are so many different naturopath related remedies that can be of tremendous value is very, very important to be included. This is something that we really, really want to sometimes stress, because everybody is, and you know, the pain pill scourge is epidemic in the United States and even around the world. It has caused me, Christine, to relabel performance enhancing drugs, which we're all familiar with. And I know there's cheaters, and there's always been cheaters. But I have relabeled them as performance-surviving drugs, because everybody at every level is overdoing it in so many ways, mentally and physically. And we just want to be able to stay out of trouble and so that you could be able to. I got to ask you, though, what's it? Run with it. I guess it's everything.
It is. Like I.
Right?
Yes, I have trained like a pro at times, not every month, and talked to Olympians and high performance athletes, you know, and they talk about their nutrition, their training, and even touching upon sports psychology. And it's more
it's
than
huge.
Just putting one piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is huge. In this day and age, I call it the mental game, which is all aspects, mm-hmm. whether it's the challenge of coming back from an injury, whether it's this incredible disappointment of the cancellation of the Olympics and all these seasons.
Yeah.
It's traumatic. It's been a huge topic for many of our sports psychology and psychology associates in so many ways. But it is a very, very big deal. Everybody understands the word mindfulness. It's funny. 10 years ago, no one knew how to spell it, you know. But today, much more attention to mind-body connection and how important it is. And I'm glad to see that you pay big attention to it also.
Yes, and it's more than putting one foot in front of the other. It's, as you said, the mind-body connection. And, you know, we need proper sleep, proper nutrition, proper training program, proper gear, equipment, and that mindfulness and the mental strength, the mental aspect, brain fitness.
Yes, big topic. Very, mm-hmm. very big topic. And I think it's an easy sell. When people, in 2 seconds, they get it. They understand what a big deal. Whether it's attitude, whether it's focus and all of these other things, paying attention at so many different levels. Again, when we're dealing with the persistent problem with injuries, for example, and that whole mindset, or being able to, again, deal to a crisis like we were talking about, and the pressure that so many of the youth athletes, which is, again, one of my major passions, why I co-authored hashtag Hey Sports Parents. The pressure on these kids at so many levels from coaches and parents, it's overkill times 100. And this has become a very, very big problem. And again, all sides of it mentally, fits in, and where it might fit into, you know, like we said, we're going to define what's it and run with it. And there's 500 different sides to some of these different things that you must be featuring and talk about. I bet you never run out of topics.
Never. You know, even, you know, and it's awesome. I love what I do. And, you know, we talk about cross-training tips, you know, how to get started. There's also seniors training, seniors athletes I profile, how they train, and they're an inspiration for the younger runners. I interview track athletes, the whole thing. I never run out of ideas because running to me, it changed my life, and I have the show and the radio, the podcast. So I'm
how much running are you doing now?
Well, I run every day, and I do
really?
My cross training. Yes, pretty much. I run like 40 minutes to about an hour these days. I'm not training for any marathons. I just like to...
It's aggressive.
Yeah, just...
Doing anything every day is aggressive. Anybody put orthotics in your shoes, young lady?
No, I've been so far so good.
I tell you, I don't argue with success, but I do say that prevention starts with a capital P. So
yes.
If you want to be two steps quicker, you give me a call.
Okay,
you know?
No, I know.
Otherwise, I would say, right, the two exercises we make a big deal out of with all runners, again, is strengthening the feet and ankles. Rubber band's a great way to do it. And work balance, mm-hmm. work instability, standing on all of these unstable surfaces to really strengthen all these supporter muscles. Because, again, when you're running, let alone competitively, you know, you're hitting the ground with three, four times your body weight. It's a lot of
mm-hmm.
stress. So we really got to strengthen all of these systems in order to be able to, tolerate it. But when you do it every day, that's impressive.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do. I just practice what I preach, and I love running because it's good for my mind as well. And it makes me feel like I might have a bad day and I'm thinking, oh, I don't feel like it. But once I get out there 5 minutes into running, oh, I just love it. And I feel I can do more. Like I feel like it just helps my whole being, mind and body connection. And
so you're doing your 2-3 miles a day or something like that. And again, it seems to fit in. It fits in well. Again, it's what seems to be better tolerated. I can't believe we blasted through time with you. Christine Blanchett, TV host. She's a producer of Run With It. Christine, give me the website again quickly.
Oh, yes, runwithit.ca.
Runwithit.ca. Check it out. Mm-hmm. Great stuff. Thanks so much, Christine. I'm looking forward to being on with you. Hold on. We'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, we're back. Sports Doctor live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctors In segment. A couple of great guests today. Thanks so much, Lindsay Berra, Christine Blanchett. We've got some great guests coming up. I have next week the inventor of the women's sports bra, an author, Lisa Lindahl, will be joining me. And then physical therapist Dan Stein. Dan specializes in physical therapy with disabilities, tremendous area in PT. The following week, and the Veronica Porter with her homegrown vegetables and other things that she talks about through schools and whatever. She's coming back. And then Gina Bria, the whole world of hydration and some new areas of thinking, big time, in the areas of what's so important to all of us is hydrating, will be joining us. Where's the emails? Here we see Terry. My son plays high school soccer. He's been dealing with so-called shin splints. It's the third season already. He's 15 years old. You know, Terry, most persistent shin problems and shin splints is not a medical diagnosis. You could be dealing with a stress fracture. You could be dealing with tendonitis, muscle imbalances. So you really need to know what you're dealing with. If those things have been ruled out, like stress fracture, 90% of persistent recurring shin problems are foot-related. So common to see that flat-type pronated foot and the torque it creates and the overuse of that muscle group. So the great news is proper orthotics are very, very helpful, especially when combined with good physical therapy and strengthening of all the areas. So number one, get a diagnosis. Number two, look seriously with sports podiatry into orthotics. Number three, make sure you're following up with the strengthening and the exercises. Number four, again, with these various specialists, make sure your son's in the right shoe. For years, the weakest shoe with the least support was soccer shoes. And they have come a long way, but it's still not sometimes something you need to pay attention to. Ellen says, I'm a 65-year-old walker. I have my share of arthritis with my knees and hips. I love walking. Orthotics helped me. Absolutely, Ellen. If done properly, proper support is a big deal. People 20 years older than you, when our concern is to prevent falling as best we can, orthotics are extremely helpful, along with strengthening of all of those areas. So being under a good physical therapy program to properly strengthen the muscles that support the arthritic areas is very, very important. And absolutely, being in the proper shoe for you, and I've had great success with orthotics over the decades with exactly your situation. So look into it. Steve says, my 13-year-old daughter, she plays lots of tennis almost every day. She's had constant on and off knee problems. We've had physical therapy. They talk about ligamentous laxity. You know, Steve, I'll tell you the same thing I told the 65-year-old Ellen. Pay big attention to alignment. Ligamentous laxity, where you have almost a rubber band-like looseness of the ligaments, tendon attachments to the joints, kind of loosey-goosey. And sometimes, on the one hand, we can tolerate imbalances because the body just adapts. The foot flattens out even more, and it doesn't hurt. Other times it starts to cause all sorts of problems in areas above, like the knees. So I have had great success and seen great success with proper custom orthotics to pay big attention to alignment and foot-ankle structure with very aggressive physical therapy and strengthening, which is a big part of the sport of tennis. And you want to pay attention to not overdoing. It's a big problem with adolescent athletes. It's why I co-authored hashtag Hey Sports Parents, Steve. You're one of them. Make sure they're not running this kid to death. Sometimes we'll see, well, you know, part of her training is she runs stairs, she runs sprints, she jumps rope. Get out of that. Already tennis is very aggressive with her knees. But the great news Orthotics is a big weapon. Pay big attention to that. I'm going to tell you to say, hey, Sam, both my sons, 10, 11 years old, they love hockey. Their heels hurt. It's been on and off. There's no specific injury. You know, Sam, the heel growth in kids is aggressive to like 13, 14 years old, often with boys and girls. There's a large growth center on the back and bottom of the heel, and it's susceptible to stress. And things like soccer, where we're putting cleats very early right underneath that heel, and there's lots of running, of course. And any of the sports, whether it's tennis, whether it's basketball, running, where we might see that those growth centers, even with great foot mechanics and a great foot type, could be susceptible to stress. And we have to pay attention with what I call intelligent rest, to backing off and not trying to push through these kinds of problems. When it's persistent or we've seen it recurring, very often there's a mechanical component. Kid's got those pronated flat type feet, or he has on the other extreme high arches, where the result again is excessive stress in that heel area, either around the Achilles tendon or the bottom of the heel. And we recommend with these kids, we get them into heel cups. We might absolutely get out of cleats, get into a multi-nubbed shoe that doesn't have the cluster of cleats. Back off intensity. And again, if it's persistency, podiatry, and have them take a look and see if structure is involved, if this is ongoing. Sarah says, our bunion's inherited. My mom is in her 60s. She says her mother had bunions. I've got, you know, Sarah, there is absolutely an inherited characteristic of the foot mechanics that creates the bunions. The bunion is a lay term for a dislocating big toe joint. It presents as the bump on the side of that big toe. Sometimes the big toe under or overlaps the other toes. Sometimes, a lot of times, it hurts either because of shoe pressure or because the joint is dislocating. And in my surgical career decades ago, we had families where grandma, 70 years old, surgery. Her daughter, early 50s, late 40s, surgery. Her daughter, early 20s, maybe surgery. In athletics, we started paying very, very big attention to, can we pay attention conservatively, make a difference? And orthotics ended up being extremely helpful in controlling the development of the problem, to the point where today, if I'm looking at 10, 11-year-old, especially girls, with that tendency, her mother's got the bunions, it's in the family. Not every youngster inherits their parents' seat, but about 75% do. Gee, you know, he's got high arches, just like his dad and granddad. Gee, you know, look at her, she's knock-kneed, just like her mom and grandma. She's got those flat feet, et cetera, et cetera. It's common. So the earlier we pay attention, the more success we've got. I've seen kids grow up into mid-adulthood with the same tendency, and the bunion was present, but it never hurt. We never had to do anything surgically. We got into orthotics and shoe selection early. So it definitely is something that we want to pay attention. I know we're about out of time, but again, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to, again, let's everybody, we're all in it together. Let's try to stay strong. Let's stay safe. Be smart. Follow the rules. We'll see you next week, everybody. Thanks. Sports Doctor.